Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in the Sechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Zayin, and we are holding on the very last word on the bottom of Omid Beis, Amri Harifi Pupatisa. So we've been discussing whether Befagna Bechatzi Matir, and whether a Matir can be Matir, can be Befagna Matir, and whether the acting matir upon whatever it's being matir is limited to its impact on that item or whether it extends throughout the carbon. And we've been learning about different levels of matir, especially when there are essentially two matirim, such as the Shnei Kivsei Atzeret or the Shnei Mezichei Levoina, or the standard, you could say, two matirim because they're one after the other. So we have parallel matirim and series matirim, and there's a big difference between them. As we've seen, the Harifei de Pumbedisa, and this is, there were two sons of Rechava from Pumbedisa, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, which Rashi brings here, and they were Epha and Avimi, and they were very, very brilliant, and they were known as the brilliant ones from Pumbedisa. So they have a fantastic Kiddush, and it seems to violate a lot of what we've been taught up until now. And their fantastic Kiddush is that there is a concept called the spread of Pigel. And that means that when you have Pigel affecting in various ways elements of the carbon simultaneously, then the elements of the carbon are interrelated specifically because of the Pigel. Now that is a super new idea. And it's something of a meta pigel, in which you can integrate the carbon through the fact that you're making it pigel itself. And so here's how they express their idea. You can actually be mafago when you're doing the haktorah of, say, the haktorah of the Kometz. It could be the mafago, the haktorah of the Levona. Now, obviously, this is not going to work out. If you hold like Rabbi Yossi, which at the early part of the parak insisted that in matir mefagel matir, so there's no way for a matir to affect another matir. Now the Chachamim didn't agree with that specific way in which Rabbi Yossi saw it, and we talked about the various places where they would agree or where they wouldn't agree. But according to the Harifei de Pumbedisa, what they're saying is that if you were mechashev on the other part of the Haktorah. Now, there's two separate Haktorahs. I mean, the Levona and the Kometz, remember, they're not one as a matter of the other because actually the order is irrelevant. And if the order is irrelevant, if I can bring the Kometz first, then the Levona is clearly not a matter of the Kometz. And if I can bring the Kometz first, then the Levona first, then the Kometz is not a matter for the Levona. So basically, it would be a clear-cut case of separate matirim, and it would only be a chatzi matir. And nonetheless, their svara is that afilu the rabbana damri ein mefagrim b'chatzi matir. This is a classic case of a chatzi matir. So that it's even worse in a sense because what you're being mefagel is not through the matir of that thing, because the kometz is not a matir for the levana. And nonetheless, they claim that since the act of Haktorah is bringing them together after they were Mekudesh Bekli, even according to the Rabbanan, the Amri Ein Mefagrim B'Chatzi Matir, the only time that the Rabbanan say that the Klal of Ein Mefagrim B'Chatzi Matir would apply even here is Hani Mili Dechishe Be Bishirayim Ulevona B'Milta Kaima. That's if you are using the Matir, in this case the Kometz, and you're thinking about eating the shirayim on the basis of bringing that matir, and you're going to be eating the chutzpah's matir. The levona, on the other hand, we're not part of this cheshbon. But over here, you were thinking about the levona, and you were thinking about the levona when all that is left to do is the act of haktara of the levona and the kometz. Nothing else really matters. And therefore, in this case, it's as if the pigle spreads, and it's the equivalent of spreading your machshava throughout, because it doesn't really matter to me whether you were mechashev with both matirin as matirin. What's important to me is that you were mechashev on both matirin with pigo. I don't give a hang if one of them is the thing that is the matir, which you're using to eat the pigo, and the other thing is the item, which is the pigo, you see? Now, this is a completely new way of looking at things. I mean, we always looked at the different elements of pigo as being completely independent of each other. There is the matir, which effectuates the pigo, and there is the machsheva's pigo, and then there is what you thought to do, and then there is the thing that you thought to do it to, whether it was the Dovra Roy Lachilas Adam or the Dovra Roy Lachilas Mizbeach. Remember, that's the way that we've been understanding Pigo all along. The first part of the Rabban here, of the Harifa de Pumpadisa, which I explained to you based on the furthest reaches of the Shita that we're going to see as we go along, but its first stage is simply to point out, does it really matter to you whether the issue over here is the Chatzi Matir because there's no power in the Chatzi Matir, or because the Pigo has not yet affected the other Matir? And if that other Matir is not involved, then the carbon is basically not yet infected with Pigo. But once the carbon is infected with Pigo, whether it's infected with the Machsheves Pigo in the Matir that is doing the Matir, or whether it's infected in another item, which is the object of the Machsheves Pigo, it's the same thing. You can't call that a problem of a Chatzi Matir, even though obviously it really is a Chatzi Matir, because the Lavona was not the Matir, the Lavona was the Mutar, right? Nonetheless, the entire carbon is affected by Pigo, and therefore it becomes infected by Pigo. And it's a totally new way of seeing things. Omar Rava, you know, I think that this is innate in the Mishnah, and we never actually thought about it because it's so hidden. But look, let's take a look at that opening Mishnah that we had last week. Zeakla, kol hakometz v'notein b'kli. So we list all of the things. If you do kemitza or netina b'kli, or you do halacha, or you do haktara, and you have in mind, le'chol davar shedarko le'chol, or la'haktir davar shedarko la'haktir. This is our classic Mishnah, you know this already in your sleep, and we've had it in Zvachim so many times, and here so many times. Chutz le'mikomo, it's pasov enbo kares, chutz le'zmano, it's pigo v'chagavan ol kares. It doesn't look like you can get any more information out of this Mishnah, right? But you can, says Rava. Look, if you're listing all of the cases, and you have four different cases, you said anybody that was kometz, noten v'kli, molech, maktir. Now, that suggests very strong that what it is that you're doing in each one of these avodot would be exactly the same. In other words, my love, haktara dum yedahanach. In other words, what this mission seems to be saying is that you could create pigo in the same way in any of these four avodas, right? Any of these four materials. Now, if you're taking a look at anything besides the haktara, okay, it's clear that you have two ways of creating pigo. What are those two ways? You're either thinking of eating something edible for a human, or you're thinking of being makriv on the mizbeach, something that's right for the mizbeach, okay? Now, you can easily understand that with kmitza, halacha, and nesina b'kli. But how about haktara? What are your two options for haktara? You can't be maktir the shirayim, because that's not considered to be roi l'mizbeach. Well, I got news for you. There's only one thing left, darling. The levona. You're bringing the kmitza on the mizbeach, and you're going to be able to create pigo with a machsheves haktara. What was your machsheves haktara about? The only other thing that you're being marked there is the levona. And therefore, it must be talking about that you did the haktaras hakometz in order to be marked there the levona tomorrow. And it's saying over here, pigo v'chayovan lavkaras. That's exactly what the Harifa Bumpadisa said. And the Mishnah never made sense fully to me until the Charif de Pumbedisa introduced this totally new way of understanding Pigel. So just like my lav, Haktor Dumya Dahanach, just like all the other three, you had two choices in the Mishnah. Lechol davar shadarko lechol, or laktir davar shadarko laktir, right? So same thing is true over here. Mahanach ben lechol ben laktir, af Haktor ben lechol ben laktir, leaving the only other thing to be maktir as the Levona, which is precisely what the Charif de Pumbedisa suggested. No. I mean, yeah, I see it's suggestive, but it certainly is not going to prove it. I mean, for heaven's sakes, you could easily learn that we're talking about two different issues over here. The first three are the full options, Bein Lecho, Bein Lahaktir, and the remaining one, we weren't going to say it as if I have to spell it out to you. I mean, if you could come up with something Lahaktir, it would still be true. There isn't anything else Lahaktir, so maybe it's only Lecho, but Lahaktir, look. As a matter of fact, it turns out that Rav Menashe Bar Gada, who was sitting and learning in front of Abaye, and he was saying over in the name of Rav Chisda, Ein Haktorah Mifagala Taktorah. There's no way to use the act of Haktorah in a mincha to be Mifagel through Haktorah, because there is nothing else to be marked here, which means that exactly the opposite of Charif de Pumbedisa. If you were mechashev with the haktoras hakometz to be makter the levina lamachar, then it's not going to be pigo. And I say not only is it this true, according to the rabbanon who hold ein mefaglin b'chatzin matir, I got news for you. This is true even according to Rabbi Meir who says mefaglin b'chatzin matir, because you can only be mefaga with a matir, chatzir or otherwise. If it is the matir, for God's sake, of the thing that you're being mefagel. A matir is not some kind of concept called a component of. Is that a component of? It's what it says. It's a matir. So I don't understand what you're going to do. You're going to fix a car with a missing spark plug. In the old days, they used to have things like that. By changing its carburetor. In the old days, they had things like that too. Anyway, so they also had cranks and things. Anyway, I don't understand what you're talking about. What do you mean you infect the car with a breakdown? I never heard of such a thing. Basically, a matir is a matir is a matir. It's not a component. It's not a spark plug. And there is no matir of Lavona that lurks hiding in the comets. So it's all very nice to say, well, everything's been affected. This matir's been affected. That matir's been affected. But you can't use a matir for something that it isn't matir, right? And if I don't need the comets for the Lavona, then how could the comets affect the Lavona? Don't think I don't see you trying to escape, Barry. I saw that. Very, very sneaky move. Telling you he's become so smooth, probably gliding on WD-40. Anyway, I say therefore it's the exact opposite, even according to Rabbi Meir, who said that you are mefago b'chatzi matir, that's only in a case where that is a real matir. So yes, if you use half of the matir, either Lavona or the comets, and you were makter it to eat the shirayim, okay, I understand the comets is a matir of the shirayim. But in this case, the comets is not the matir of the Lavona. So how the heck is it going to affect the Lavona by claiming that now you've infected the entire mincha with pigo? Lo matzi mefagale cannot have any effect whatsoever. Obviously, says absolutely nothing to do with that svara. So we go from one extreme to the other. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye Ezra Menashe. Ani Mari, please, could you tell me, you quoted Rav Chisda. I just want to know how consistent this is with Rav. Did he say it over in the name of Rav? Amalei, in, absolutely he did. And Itmanami, Omer Rav Chisda, Omer Rav, we actually have a mimer like this, that Rav Chisda quoted Rav specifically to say, Ein Haktorah Mifagelet Haktorah. So this would also be another proof, because Rav Yaakov Bar Iri was, actually, if you take a look in the Shita, it's supposed to be Rav Yaakov Bar Abba, which makes much more sense, because there's no relationship between Rav Yaakov Bar Iri and Abaye. So If it's Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba, then yes. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba brings in the name of Abaye that this is actually included in our Mishnah. Because what does it say in the Mishnah? Shachat echad min hakvasim lechol mimenu lomachar. If you actually did the shechita and you were going to eat some of that keves, this is talking about the shnei kivsei atzeret, which are the zivchei shalmei tzibur, remember? They're only eaten for one day, and they are necessary in order to be matir the shtei halech. In this case, you had a kavanas pigo, not on the shtei halech, but on the actual keves itself. So the keves also, remember, is kutche kutchim, and its meat is eaten by kohenim. So you shechted it in order to eat its own meat, limachar. Well, that makes it pigo, but the other keves isn't pigo, because the other keves remains completely unaffected by something that is not matir it. There's no order to the akrovat hakvasim, and each one of them is fully independent. As a matter of fact, not only is the other one kosher, but if the kavanas hapigol in the first place was, I'm shechting this keves in order to eat the other keves, lechol michaveiro lemachar, then both of them would be kosher. Now, why are both kosher? Obviously, because one keves is not the matir of the other keves, right? So, lav mishum the kiven de lav matir didei, since it is not the thing that is matir the other keves, lo matzi mefagavet. It cannot have any impact on the other one because it isn't necessary for the other one. And that's essentially what it was that we were tining over here against the Chabrifi de Pumpasai. So there is no way, really, that you could learn it. It's against the Mishnah. Oh, not necessarily, actually, says the Gemara. There's a big difference between the two cases. And remember, we've discussed this difference before. Now, when you have different materium, the extent of the independence of the materium depends on the way that the Torah has classified them. What is their relationship with each other? In the case of the Shnei Kvasim, the relationship is nix. There is none. And there's never a time in which the Shnei Kvasim are put together other than as a need for each other, with the word Shtayim. But they're never actually Mekudesh together. There's never actually did the Avoda together. So they're never Ikva B'chadmana. Now, certainly in this case, the Kometz and the Levana are put together in the same Kiddush Kli, right? And they were Ikva, therefore, as Chadmana. Therefore, they're considered to be an interrelated, integral part of the Mincha. And the Chabrifi de Pumpasoi, I keep saying Pumpasoi, I mean to Pumpadisa. The Chabrifi de Pumpadisa took that into consideration. Obviously, we don't talk about unrelated parts. We're not going to be talking about spark plugs and tires. I mean, they're not related. They're completely different systems. But over here, where the Torah puts together the Kometz and the Levina, it is perfectly reasonable to think about viewing them as being affected by the fact that a Machsheves Pigol was aimed at them. And that would be the point. And therefore, Kichad Bamu. That was a pretty smooth return, Dr. Barry. We hope that you'll stick with it. Omer of Amuna. You know, some things pretty hard for people to swallow. Unless you got somebody who's smart enough to get you to swallow it. Well, I can tell you. Rabbi Hanina got me to swallow this, and it is so sweet, and I'm so grateful to him. Oh, Milta, Ivlali, Rabbi Hanina, he got it swallowed deep inside of me. Utkilali kechule talmudoy, and it's like so special to me. It's like equal to everything else that it took me so long to accept this. Hiktir komets, lahaktir levona. Now, you're going to see why this is hard to swallow. This is that ultimate extension that we were talking about of the Chavrifi de Pumpadoi idea. And it's so strange because it doesn't even seem to make sense. You're makter the kometz in order to be makter the levona in order to eat the shirayim. So what? Like, what is this? A multiple stage Pigel rocket? Like, You do the haktor of the kometz in order to do the haktor of the lavona, which would be in order to eat the shirayim tomorrow. Now, I don't even understand the case. What's going on over here? Is he trying to tell me that haktorah can be mafagelat haktorah, and that it's possible, which is the idea of the charif lepupadisa, right? So he's telling me that you could be makter the kometz to be makter lavona, lamoch. So then just say to him, I mean, say, hikter kometz lahakter lavona. I mean, so obviously that's not the whole point over here. If the point is to tell me that mefaglin b'chatzi mati, and you want to tell me that the halacha is that you can actually make pigel on the shirayim just with the kometz, which is Rabbi Meir Sheet, right? So say so. Say, hikter kometz achol shirayim lamacha. I mean, what is this multi-stage pigel? And if you want to tell me those two things, then you said it wrong. You should say, hikter kometz lehakter levona, or vav, which would mean or, right? Or to eat the shirayim tomorrow. Okay, those are telling me those two different dinim. To eat the shirayim tomorrow tells me, even though it's only a chatzi matir, and to be makter levona tomorrow tells me that you can even use haktorah to be makter haktorah. But what, I don't understand the stages. What are the stages? They don't make any sense at all. Om Ravada Barava. Rav Amnuna definitely holds that haktorah cannot be mefagel haktorah, actually. And not only that, he even holds ein mefaglin b'chatzi matir. And nonetheless, he holds a multi-staged pigel, which comes through the infection of pigel and not through the application of pigel. And this case is therefore unique. Why? Because shani hacha de pashta le machshava bekule mincha. That's because over here, there hasn't been anything that you didn't touch with your pigel. You touched the kometz by using it to make the pigel. You touched the shirayim by them being the focus of the matir of that pigel. You touched the lavona by attempting to call it something you're going to be makter tomorrow, even though it wasn't by the matir, but by the thing that was linked to it in the same container. There isn't anything in this, you know what that's called, again, in automobile language? A lemon. You know that there's a special law that allows you to return your car if it's a lemon? And what does that mean? What do you mean a lemon? I mean, the only thing that really looked like a lemon was the good old Edsel, which was, remember, compared to an Oldsmobile that was sucking a lemon. But I mean, how in the world is a car a lemon? So therefore, there's a concept, and this is mamish embedded in law. There's a point at which the car just never works. Everything just keeps breaking down. Well, the same context in pigel world is called a lemon of a mincha. And that mincha is the extension of this idea of the charifi de pumpetzoi. There is an idea in which all elements of that's called pashta makshava bekule mincha. There's not a piece of this mincha that hasn't been touched in the virtual world of pigel. And I don't care whether it was directly affected as the matir. I care about the infection. That's the point. And once that's true, then it's actually the whole thing becomes pigel. Now, the truth is there were two different girsaot. The Rambam's girsa is, in before, which when Rav Amnuna started explaining the series, it went like this. We left out one word from that series, and that was, we read it as hikter kometz lahakter levona lecho shirayim lamacha. But actually, the Rambam's girsa is, hikter kometz lahakter levona ulevona le'echol shirayim lamacha. So that there were two separate parts over here. And the way that the Rambam reads the whole idea of pashta is very different. And it actually fits that girsa very well. And it brings out the issues. He puts the mamish all together, his psak about chatzimater and so on. Here is how he puts it. Chishev b'sha'at haktarat ha-kometz, sheyaktir ha-levona l'macha. If you thought when you were bringing the komets that you were going to bring the lavona chutz l'zmano, ain't a pigle. Nope. Why not? She'ein haktara mifagelet haktara. Klal is, you cannot use one piece of haktara to be matter the other. Okay, fine. And furthermore, im hiktir alavona levada, or a komets levado, if you only brought the chatzi matter, either the komets or the lavona, and your machshava was lechol shirayim lamachar, it's also not pigel. It's possible because of our gzera, but it's not pigel. Why is that? She'ein mefagli b'chatzi matir. Wow. This is pure Rav Amnuna here. So both things are part of my introduction. You can't use either of these things. Neither of them work. But, insanely, if you put them together, they end up working. Aval. In hiktir et hakometz levado. And your machshava was to be makter the lavona tamara. And then you bring the lavona. And with the lavona, you're mechashev to eat the shirayim tamara. Harei zeh pigel. Because there's not one thing in this carbon that was brought without a machshevet zman. Shaharei pashta machshevet zman b'chol ha-mincha. It's just spread like a cancer throughout that mincha, and therefore the whole mincha becomes possible. Amazing. Really, all of a sudden, just when you thought it was safe to walk outside, the harifi, the pumpadisa come along and break all of your complacent assumptions, which have been with you for so many years throughout your life, and suddenly all of your deepest beliefs are shattered. It's an incredible experience. Anyway, Tani Tane Kameder of Yitzhak Bar Abba. So we're now getting to the end of our Pigel Sugya over here in terms of a chelek of a matir. Hiktir komets lecho shirayim. So we know if you bring the komets in order to eat the shirayim, everybody would agree that that's Pigel. What? What do you mean everybody would agree? That's the big machlokas we just had about whether mefagrim b'chatzi matir. Now don't give me that stuff. It's not true. Okay, you're right. It's not true. I should say. L'divrei HaKol, it's possible. Everybody agrees it's at least possible, right? I mean, it might even be pigul mamish if you hold like Rebbe Meir, but certainly the Chachamim agreed that it's possible. So we have to change what it was that the Braita said. So, I mean, why did you change it in that way? You said change the Braita to read that it's possible. Why don't you change it to read that it's Pigel, but it's Rebbe Meir? I mean, it works out. You're going to have to change something, right? So you're taking a braita that doesn't make any sense as it's given. You need to choose what it is that you're making a mistake in the court of the braita, right? Okay, so why choose the part about whether it is Rebbe Meir or whether it's Pussel or Pigel? Why not change the part about whether it's Divrei HaKol or whether it's Rebbe Meir? No? I mean, you could say the same thing. You could keep the Arizah Pigel and change. It's not by Divrei HaKol. It's only true of Libet Rebbe Meir. Well, that's because he definitely must have heard from the person who taught him the Brises. Remember that the Brises were taught orally, right? So there was always a Tana that would say over the Brises. He must have heard the words Divrei HaKol. You can get confused between pigle or possum. Yeah, because I could just jump to the conclusion. Somebody says possum, you're talking about pigeon. Okay, that's pigle. But you're certainly not going to get confused between Divrei HaKol and Rebbe Meir. I mean, come on. So pigle but possum, michlafle, you can actually get confused. But hare ze b'divrei HaKol lo machlifle. He wouldn't have said that hare ze pigle b'divrei HaKol instead of the Divrei Rebbe Meir. So that doesn't make sense. We could say, okay, I raise a pigel, I raise a puzzle. And because of that, probably that's what happened. Hagran Allah, wow. Hakomets et amincha.
B'li neder. Fountain the helika perek.
9.3, Rich.
I spiked the coffee this morning.
Ah, excellent.
Yeah.
Good to know that.
Yeah, I think I might start doing that more often.
A little bit of Talisker left in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so we begin the next perek, which is also called Hakomets. So how do we make the difference between the two? Well, we call this the big Komets, Hakomets Rabba. So that's the way, if people are learning Perek HaKomets, they mean the second Perek. And if they're learning HaKomets Rabba, they mean the third Perek. So let us begin with understanding the various Machshavos and see what new information, because it starts off sounding exactly like the Mishnahs we had before. HaKomets et HaMincha lechol davar she'ein darko lechol. How about if you were going to eat something which was not meant to be eaten, it was meant to be put on the Mizbeach? Or you have intent to put on the Mizbeach something which was meant to be eaten. Lahaktir davar she'ein darko lahaktir. Well, then it's completely kosher, because that's not a machshava at all, and we're not even gozer that you might come to think that it's the same thing to have a machshava to eat from the emurim, and to say that's the same as to eat from the basana, or in this case, to eat the komets and say that's the same thing as eating the shivayim. But Rabbi Eliezer, he says it is possible. Now, it's not clear. We're going to see later on in Machloket whether Rabbi Eliezer means it's actually pigel. And even though he uses the word possible for reasons that the Rishonim deal with, and it's pigel because he learns it out of a pasuk that includes this additional case, or whether he really meant that he's only arguing about whether we're going to be gozer, mipnei davar shedar kol echol, even if you're dealing with davar shein dar kol echol, and vice versa. So that we'll see in the Gemara. Right now it seems that he's saying only that there's a gezera, and not that it's mocker is a pasuk. Lechol davar shedar kol echol, lo laktir davar shedar kol lahaktir, but not a shear, only pochot mikizayin. That's also kosher. And that is kosher, even though we know that from before, because, I mean, we just had that. We even had, if you try to be mitzari for chatzis zayas of achila and the chatzis zayas of aktara, that's not good. So obviously just the chatzis zayas of achila or just the chatzis zayas of aktara is not going to create pigel. We're only mentioning it here because since we just saw that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's a gezerah of something that's in a roi lechol or to something that is roi lechol, you might have thought that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's also a gezerah of a chatzi zayit or to a zayit shalim. Kamash malan, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't argue about this case, and it's completely kosher. Now, suppose you had in mind to eat a chatzi zayit and to be maktir a chatzi zayit, chutz lizmano. Remember that we have our klal, in achila v'haktara, mitztarfim, these two different acts are not actually combinable. Now let's take a look at where Rabbi Eliezer would get the idea that it's possible, even though he's thinking about something that is not ro'i le'echol. So why would he say la'atu dover she'in darko la'aktir, or le'echol dover she'in darko le'echol? According to Rabbi Eliezer, it would be the same thing. How is that? Om Rabasi, Om Rabbi Yochanan, I'll tell you why it is. My time at Rabbi Eliezer actually believes it's a diaraita, and he learns it out of the pasuk. Omar Kra, remember the amazing pasuk that we had so many diyukim on? Every single word of this pasuk was chock full of diyukim in tzav. Ve'im e'achol ye'achel. Mibesar zevach shelomav bayom ha'shelishi lo yeratze hamakriv oto lo yechashiv lo pigul yihyeh v'hanefesh ochelet mimenu avonat tisa. What is the meaning of hey ochol ye achel? That seems to be speaking about shtei achilot hakatuv medaber. So there's two ways of consuming things for pigul. One of them is achilat adam, which we took to mean a dover that's roi le'achol adam. And one of them is the achilat mizbeach, again, which we took to mean to be makter, something that is roi for the mizbeach to eat. The fact that it uses the lasha of Heilchoye Achel teaches me important things. It teaches me that since the Torah uses the same concept of achila both for Adam and the Mizbeach, Heilchoye Achel, that kishim shemechashvim beachilat Adam, kach mechashvim beachilat Mizbeach. So therefore, either way, in the case of the Mincha, we'd be talking about that he was going to eat either the Shirayim, which is Achilas Adam, or the Haktoras HaKometz, or the Levona, outside of the Zman, or outside of the Mokum. Or in the case of the actual Pasuk, was talking about the Shlomim, it was either to do the parts that were meant on the Mizbeach, like the Zrikas Adam, or the Emurim, or the Achilas Adam, of the Basar of the Shlomim. So that's the first thing that we learned from it. Furthermore, we learn from it, according to Rabbi Yezer, that kishem shemechashvim miachilat adam lachilat adam, in the same way that if you have a human who says, I am going to be eating this myself of something that is meant to be eaten by a human, and just like you can think about the achilat mizbeach, lachilat mizbeach, or you can have something that's meant to be for the mizbeach in your machsheva spiegel, to actually feed it to the Mizbeach, but at the wrong time or the wrong place, kach b'chashvim me'achilat adam la'mizbeach u'me'achilat mizbeach la'adam. It would actually work across the lines because we're using the word achila for any type of consumption, whether it's by the Mizbeach or whether it's by the Adam. In which case, if the achilas Adam is going to be of something ro'i to the Mizbeach, or the Achilas Mizbeach is going to be of something royally Adam. So you can feed Achilas Adam to the Mizbeach and Bichayev, and you can feed, so to speak, the Achilas Mizbeach to the Adam by having a makshava to eat the Emurim, or to eat of the parts of the Mincha which were meant for the Mizbeach, like the Kometz or the Levana, and they would be actually a makshava spiegel. And what pushes Rebbe Eliezer to read a pasuk like that, that it should even include cross-eating? Because why would the Torah use the word achila, heyachodye achel? I mean, it's usually not the way that we talk. I mean, yes, we do talk about the flames have consumed. So we say, achlom ha'esh, you know, yes, but I mean, it's not usually the way we refer to achtara. So because the Torah chooses to explain the achilas mizbeach in the sense of achila instead of haktara, it's clear that that's for this purpose. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, it's not clear that it's for this purpose. The reason that the Torah uses the lashon of achila is to tell me a very special din. It namely, as a matter of fact, a couple of special din. Namely, it doesn't matter whether you express your machshavas pigel utilizing the language of food and eating, or utilizing the language of karbanos and burning. So it doesn't matter whether you said it in the lashon of achila lamizbeach, meaning I'm doing this kometz in order to feed it to the mizbeach tomorrow. What's going on over here, Richie? If you're going to practice with your goggle muggle, then
why is my?
We appreciate the practice, but you know, not in the middle of this year. You could send us a tape of gargling and everything, and it would definitely be put up there together with the awards. So, in here, it's teaching me that
turning off my mic.
That's what happens when the chazans get really turned on by their own chazanas. They can't live without them. We'll send you a mic that'll hang in front of your face all day, Rich. L'chaim, l'chaim. Anyway, so it comes to tell me that you could have a machshavas pigel thinking to feed the mizbeach, or you could be talking about it in terms of akhtar on the mizbeach. Okay, that's my first kiddush. My second kiddush of Heilchoye Achel is to tell me that just like achila as expressed by Adam is always the shear of Kezayit, this is comparing the shear of achila of Kezayit for Adam with the shear of Haktara, which would be Kezayit for the Mizbeach. This is where I know it from. Ine achol ye achel. And isn't that good enough for Rabbi Eliezer? I mean, the fact that the Torah uses the Lashon of Achila is no longer persuasive for Rabbi Eliezer. I mean, the Chachamim took that into consideration and learned out important things from that, but they didn't take it as far as you do. And remember, Tafasta Maruba Lo Tafasta. You can't use something to teach you something if you have a simpler thing that it might teach you. So what's Rabbi Eliezer have to say to that? Says Rabbi Eliezer to that, if that's all it came to teach me, then you only need to preserve the language of Achila. But why would it change that language to be Im Heachol Yeachel? You could have said Im Heachol Yeachel or Im Yeachol Yeachel. Why do you change it to Heachol Yeachel? That's to tell me that there's two different types of Achila that are the same. Achilas Mizbeach and Achilas Odom, and it adds this completely new din, which is my din. You can create pigel by cross-eating. So you can either have an Achilas Mizbeach la'Odom or a Mechilas Odom la'Mizbeach. Omar le'Rabbi Zer le'Rabbi Asi. I disagree, and I don't think that the Torah is the basis with this fancy analysis that we open this man. That would make it mamish pigel. And in fact, it isn't mamish pigel according to Rabbi Eliezer. It's only a gezeira. And it said puzzle, not that it's real pigel, because if it's really a derise, time in a Rabbi Eliezer b'shemachiyu, then why aren't you chayev karas? V'chitem, and maybe you'll say you are. But you're not. Rabbi Yochanan himself said, hatu de amrit. You were the one who quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying, "Modeh Rabbi Eliezer she'ein anushkaret." So, if it were actually part of the Heachol Yeachel, which is the primary pasuk, it's our source text for pigel, then why would Rabbi Yochanan have said that it's not a chiyuv of karas? I don't get it. And that's Rabbi Yochanan. Well, actually, said Rabbi Asi, you're right. This is a different version of Rabbi Eliezer. And there were times when Rabbi Yochanan explained one version and time when he explained other versions. Because we know that there's a machlokas tanoim as to what Rabbi Eliezer held. Ikalamad yama psula diraita, in which case it would be chayiv karas. The ikalamad yama, it's only a psula dirabanan. So basically, Rav Asi, yes, look, there are times when I want to teach my Talmidim in this approach, and there are times when I say the other approach. You know, the Tanya, Hashochet et Hazevach. So don't tell me I'm the one who said that you're not. I am the one. And I freely admit that I am guilty of sometimes saying you're Chayev Kares and sometimes saying you're not. But that's because there are two versions. The Tanya, Hashochet et Hazevach. So now, what about if we have a Kohen who's a vampire? Now, this presents tremendous problems because being around blood all day long creates a lot of difficult misyonis for Kohanim or vampires. So this guy is shechting a zevach, and he's thinking to himself, I'm going to drink this blood tomorrow. All right. So then, what's the din if he's going to drink the blood tomorrow? The blood is meant to be put on the mizbeach. So now, the question of drinking or eating is irrelevant because drinking is a form of eating. And therefore, it would be the same thing as saying, I'm going to eat the emurim tomorrow, you know? So if he says, I am going to drink some blood tomorrow, or I am going to be maktir the busser, which was meant to be eaten tomorrow, which is the same thing in the inverse, or take something that is supposed to be eaten by Adam, and instead it's going to be fed to the Mizbeach. In these cases, it's completely kosher. But Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's not. It's possible. Okay. Now let's take a look at the next piece. This is a completely new idea. Lahaniach midamo lamach. Now, suppose I think, and I say, I am shechting this korban in order to leave over the dam till the next day. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to bring the dam, some of the dam on the right day. but I'm going to be leaving over some of the dam for the next day. So Rabbi Yehuda says, well, in that case, it would be possible. Why would he say it's possible? Because he holds, as we're going to see very soon, that if you would leave over all of the dam till tomorrow, and the dam would be possible lina, then that would possible the carbon, because there's no way that you can have the carbon without zrika. Anything, and this is Rabbi Yehuda's form, the virtual world of Pigel is a gateway to virtuality. And therefore, if the Torah has taught us that a machshava of an actual psul is the equivalent of the actuality of that psul in what we call the real world, then why would it only apply to things like chutz l'mekomo, chutz l'zmano, shelo lishmo? I mean, all of these things are virtual things, and the Torah views them as being real when it comes to kachim. What that implies is that when a person is dealing with kachim, the virtual world of his aveda is the only real world when it comes to kodesh, and anything, therefore, that would passel the carbon is going to passel it virtually, because for kachim, there's no difference between the virtual and the real. That's how he understands this amazing idea of Pigel. Now, if that's true, then it would mean having in mind to leave the blood around till tomorrow. All of the blood is going to pass to the carbon, because you just left all of the blood till tomorrow, and that makes it possible, Lina. And therefore, your carbon is possible. I mean, obviously, it's not Pigel in the sense of being Chayiv Kares, because that's a special parsha of Chutz L'Zmano. And over here, you didn't do anything Chutz L'Zmano. You just left it Chutz L'Zmano. Fine. If all of the dam left would pass to the carbon, then part of the dam should be a gezera, because if you're going to be matir leaving part of the dam, then you're going to think that it would be kosher even if you had a machshava to leave all of the dam, and therefore we'd have to aser because of a gezera part for all. And Rabbi Elazar is saying, no, there is no reason to make something puzzle in that case. It's Rabbi Elazar, it's only Rabbi Yehuda who holds such a thing. Omar Rabbi Elazar. This is Rabbi Elazar about what Rabbi Eliezer would hold. Af bezu Rabbi Eliezer posel v'chachomi makshiri. Actually, Rabbi Eliezer posels in this case too. It's only the chachomim who are makshir this case. So far, we don't quite understand what this has to do with the machlokas tanoim that we're looking for. Namely, is there a din of pigol on the case of cross eating, or is it only a din of psul? We haven't even raised that issue. So what's going on? So let me show you, says Ravasi, why I believe that it is a machlokas tanoim. Ask yourself, if Rabbi Yehuda was talking about saying that mikses hadam is posel b'hanocha, so who was he going according to in the case of the vampire? Remember, if we had the case in the vampire, a machlokas between the Rabbanan and between Rabbi Eliezer, is he saying that the Rabbanan who say that it's completely kosher if you're a vampire and you're going to be drinking the blood of the carbon, I mean, then he can't possibly say what he said, because drinking the blood as a vampire is at least as bad as leaving the blood over, isn't it? So if the Rabbanan say that even for drinking the blood, it's kosher, so hashtam ha'asim v'kom ha'chashiv b'loshen achila. So he basically said, I'm going to eat, which is the hel, the blood, and it doesn't affect the carbon. And they said it's completely kosher. So, I mean, over here where he's not going to drink the blood, he's just going to leave it around, then for sure it should be kosher. It makes no sense to say that leaving it around is going to be worse than drinking it in my machshava. So, hakalo kosher came. So, clearly, Rabbi Yehuda must have been going, according to Rabbi Eliezer, and he must have been saying, even though the Rabbanan obviously would say that this is completely kosher, but the same Rabbi Eliezer who said that it is possible in the case of cross-eating, would agree that in this case, it would be possible because he would make the same gezeira. But since leaving it all over would make it actually possible, so he was gozer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he was gozer miktsas. So he must be going aliba to Rabbi Eliezer. The Omar Rabbi Elazar, now let's see what Rabbi Elazar said, that in this case also, afzor Rabbi Eliezer posel v'chachomim machshirim. What is that supposed to mean? He's saying exactly what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. So then why were we talking about the difference? There's no difference. They're just saying Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda say. What do you say, this thing? And Av Bezuz, Rabbi Eliezer says it's possible. So just say, Av Bezuz, go to Rabbi Yehuda. Ella, the pshat is that what he's saying is that the difference between the two of them is the difference of Kores in that case. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that if you have in Kavona the Lahaniach, yes, it's possible. But in the case where you're going to drink it, oh, there you would be Chayiv Kores. But I can't say that Rabbi Eliezer would agree with Rabbi Yehuda. And he would say that even in that first case where there was a Chayiv Kores, in this case, since you're not drinking it, there's a Chayiv only, there's an Issur D'Rabbanan and a Psul. No. He holds that both cases are only Gezeiros. It's Psul V'Ein Bo Kores. So what does that show us? That in a case where it's a vampire, which is essentially achilas mizbeach given to Adam, that the din is its only usher mitarabanan, and that's the whole point of his machlokas with Rabbi Yehuda. Which shows that there's clearly an approach to Rabbi Eliezer, which holds that he never thought that it was a raya from the pasuk of Hayachol Yeachel. It must have been a gezera, and all of this discussion here is that Rabbi Elazar is telling us that Rabbi Eliezer, in his opinion, would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that it would be possible if it's miktsas adam. But even if it were the dam that you were drinking, it would also only be possible, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who would say that it was actually a chiev of Kores.